Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. Hey, look who's standing right next to me. That's Al Barbarino. Hi, Al.
This is an apparition.
This is
a vision.
I promise I won't talk over your song, Al. I'll be good. I promise. I'll be very good.
You're a good boy. You're not speaking. That's right.
Al, I want you to know it's not me. It's him. I don't want to rat, but it's him.
Oh, forgive me.
Thank you, Al. And listeners, this happens to be Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. This is Al singing our theme song. And he's graciously recorded that and allowed us to play it every show. And Sal, I don't have to tell you this. I'm sick of the song. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I got all to do to stop him, Al. Believe me.
You're so honest.
And that was Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
Amen. Hey, Al, you know, I know you're here now, and you're going to be moving on because we're going to throw you out, but we have a person I would like you to introduce. Would you introduce our guest?
Wow. This is a surprise for me that you're asking me to do this.
How long have you known me?
Too long, actually. Okay. Much too long, John.
Go ahead. Oh, you read my mind.
Okay. This really is a privilege for me to introduce my dear, dear friend from Ireland, Dana, anywhere you want to call her. Just one beautiful lady, to say the least. And it's a real treat for all of us that she's here in the States right now with her husband, Damien, who is also with us now. I know Donna for many years, and it has been nothing less than a grace to know her over the years, and then even better to perform with her and pray with her on stage. And it's just really been a phenomenal gift for me. So you're in for a treat that you are going to interview Donna today, and also to listen to some of her magnificent, magnificent recordings.
And we're going to give Donna a chance in just a moment, but the reason where I wanted you to introduce, because you've written a song yourself, and we played it on the show, a song from Medjugorje, and you know what it's like to be inspired by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, and then record the song and put it out there. And you've done the same, Donna. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, and thanks, Al, for that lovely, beautiful, from the heart. I really appreciate that, because you know I love you too. And I want to make...
If you two want to be alone, we...
I want to make this statement. I'd like all your listeners to know that Al invited Damien, my husband, and I for a real spaghetti dinner at his house. Now, let me see. Was that 20 years ago?
Oh, stop it.
No? Well, we know that the invitation is real. We just can't get together. But I want to be there.
Marianne's at the pot.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're in for a treat.
I know it.
Amen.
I know it. We just love Al. He's just a great, just a great man of God. And you know that you could sing at the same time as you're talking to Dr. John. I don't know how you do that.
I'm a good friend of St. Padre Pio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
That's for sure.
You know, Donna, really, people may not know that you wrote the song, We Are One Body. And can you tell us, how did that come about? Because people don't understand how people are inspired by God, by the Spirit, by Al.
Well, I tell you, we had just come to live in America. Mm-hmm. It was 1991. And Damien was personally invited by Mother Angelica to set up the pilgrimage program for her monastery, which would just become a shrine of the Blessed Sacrament. And in her words, she said, we get thousands of people coming here to see the studio and to see me. And she said, I don't want them coming to look at cameras. I want them to come and meet the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she invited Damien to be the man to found that retreat program. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing to do with me. She didn't invite me to come and do a music series. But because our family, we all moved to Birmingham, Alabama, they needed a music series. So It was around about, we were only here a matter of months, and a priest friend was doing a youth, a day of prayer, a retreat day for youth, in one of the northern states. And he invited me to go, and I just loved him, but I was not anxious to go because I thought I was coming here to retire from singing or recording. And but because we loved him, and he loved a song that Damien and I had written called Totus Tuus, which was inspired by Pope John Paul II's motto to Jesus through Mary, totally yours. So I flew up to sing. There were a number of speakers, and I was singing and talking about protection of life. And we had about maybe 4,000, mostly confirmation age young people, boys and girls. Well, the reaction of the young people was wonderful. The reaction of the majority of their teachers was anything but wonderful. I talked on pro-life, and the response was that I didn't have the right to speak about pro-life in America. I was from Ireland. Another speaker spoke about the reality of the devil, the evil forces. That was just considered too frightening for the young people. And the priest himself spoke about the commandments being commandments and not suggestions. And that was interpreted as portraying a harsh God, not the loving God they were trying. I mean, everything that was said was turned around in the mind of their teachers. And yet the young people loved it. So I was flying back to Birmingham that night, and I just felt an overwhelming sadness because I looked at these young people being prepared for confirmation, and I thought, whoa, in confirmation, we used to anyway, that you would lay down your life for your faith. Mm-hmm. You used to get struck in the side of your cheek by the bishop's ring to show you were a soldier for Christ. And I just thought, these poor kids, here we are, when we're telling them half-truths and we're expecting them to lay down their lives for a half-truth. Nobody knows truth like a young person. They sense it. They know it.
And they want it.
They want it. Oh, my goodness, they want it.
Absolutely.
So as I'm flying back, and I was just praying, wouldn't it be better to tell them the whole truth, the whole challenging truth, and to assure them when they stand for that truth in their own home, in their group of friends, in their school, in their society, and feel that they're alone. And sometimes you're most alone in your own home.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be better to assure them that if they look beyond where they are, there are millions standing for that truth throughout the world, that they're part of the body of Christ? And as I'm praying and thinking this, well, all of a sudden I hear in my head, I hear, we are one body in Christ, and we do not stand alone. I got that chorus, a verse, a chorus in a middle section. And as it's going through my head, I hear the whole arrangement, but I also see a huge stadium filled with thousands of young people. And I know that this is an anthem. So I said, you know, and in my prayer, you know, I just said, Lord, you know, I've come here to retire, and I know that I won't be the one to sing it, but please, will you let me see it? Will you let me see that? And I arrived in Birmingham, and my husband picked me up, and I said, Damien, I really believe that the Lord has given me a very important song, very important. And then when the Pope was coming to America for the World Youth Day, it was sent in with a couple of other songs, Totus Tuus. And we didn't realize they were having a competition to find a theme song. It was just to suggest maybe I could go there and sing. And they said, will you enter it for the competition? And I said, no. And they called back 2 months later and said, hey, we've chosen it anyway.
And you won.
Yep.
And so did the whole world. because that song is so beautiful. One body in
Christ. But it was inspired by Jesus. And that's why he became a winner.
For sure.
Here it is, listeners.
We are one body in Christ. And he came that we might have life. For he tells us, when you eat my body and you drink my blood, I will live in you and you will live in my love. When you eat my body and you drink my blood, I will live in you and you will live in my love. We are one body in Christ, and we do not stand alone. Stand alone.
Come receive.
And the rest is history, huh?
Yes.
What happened after that, Dana?
Oh, my goodness. Well, of course, the singing it at the World Youth Day itself, I didn't understand that I'd actually be singing it at the opening ceremony with the Holy Father present.
And how many young people?
Well, there's 1 million young people in Denver. There was about 250 or 80,000 in the stadium. There was 40,000 here and 40,000 there watching it on big 40, screens.
40,000 everywhere.
I tell you, and there was millions watching it throughout the world.
I once asked Father DeGrandis, who told me that he talked to 25,000 people. I said, Father, how do you talk to 25,000 people? He said, very loud.
For sure.
And I'm sure, look at what happened to that. You gave the whole message of the catechism in that song, and you touched the hearts and the souls and the minds of all those young people.
But even more than that, John, she responded to Jesus' cry to go out there and write that song and to evangelize with that song. I think that's beautiful.
Well, it's certainly a miraculous song, that's for sure, because when we recorded it, when I wrote it, I wasn't doing any music for EWTN. So I'm ever grateful to Mother Angelica and EWTN, because I actually recorded it for the series they asked me to do not long after that that Youth Day. Not World Youth Day, but that Youth Day where it was written. And we went in the studio with, I think we had five musicians possibly. They were not Catholic, they were Christian. And they said, well, what routine do you have for this? And I said, I don't have any routine, because at the minute I've only got like two verses, a chorus and a middle section. And I said, I really don't know. It's too short for a song and I don't know. So they said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, let's pray. We'll pray and we'll start and we'll finish when we finish. So we did. We prayed. We started. We had no arrangement and no routine done. And 6 minutes later, we finished. And at that point, all it did was repeat, 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 we are one body. And then when they picked it as a song, they asked me to add in other verses. And that took an awful lot of prayer. Father Kevin Scallon prayed with me what to write. You know, I cannot, if you ask me to write something or write a song, both you and I will be dead and buried before I can do it. if I don't get the inspiration, I cannot do it.
See, but that's so important for listeners to understand. The Spirit takes over.
Oh, he has to.
It takes over and creates. And John Michael Talbot wrote, Holy is His Name, at the kitchen table while his kids were making a mess all over the place. And it took him 5 minutes. It was done.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Truly, they come sometimes instantaneously, like when Damien and I wrote Our Lady of Knock. I had been to visit for the first time the Shrine of Knock in Ireland. And Damien, I think, had been there, possibly been there before, but I had not. And at that time, I truly had no understanding of the role of the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. I knew and respected the Blessed Mother, but I had just fallen in love deeply with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I thought I didn't need anybody else, just Jesus and I. So like all the saints I'd grown up with, even Saint Jude, who got me all the way through school, the patron of hopeless cases, they all went in the back burner. And our Blessed Mother, you know, I didn't see her relevance. You know, I didn't understand. Well, we went to visit Knock. And it was very peaceful, it was very beautiful, and we were leaving Knock, and a new curate met us. There used to be a little turnstile you went through, and he met us there, and he said, could you write a song for Knock, like Todus Tuus? And I said, no, Father, we could not, because, see, I didn't understand the Blessed Mother. And we didn't want people to think we were churning out songs, you know. Mm-hmm. And we got in the car to drive back to our home in the north of Ireland, and Our Lady of Knock, that song wrote itself. And you know, there were lines in that it took me many years to understand, as I do now, you know, that our Blessed Mother is surely next to Jesus, her son, the greatest gift that God has given to our mm-hmm. church.
Yep.
And you're writing songs now. You have an album that's going to come out dedicated to the
yes,
Blessed Mother.
Yes, a new Marian album.
Can you talk about that and tell our listeners about it?
Sure.
Because I'm sure that they'll love to get it.
We're going to get emails about how we can get some of these
yeah.
songs. You're going to have to give us information
you.
On it.
Well, we have a new music ministry. It's called DS Music. That's Dana Scallon, DS, mm-hmm. Damien Scallon, DS, and Divine Savior, DS.
Oh, okay, good.
Because there's nothing works if you don't have the Lord in it, you know.
It's DS mm-hmm. cubed.
Yes, that's it.
You're so smart, Palmer.
He's smart.
So that's why he's the executive producer.
And when I figure out what he means, I'll tell him. No, but truly it is. It's just a new music ministry, and it's www.dana, or as you say, Dana, D-A-N-A, -music.com. Mm-hmm.
Say it again one more time.
www.dana, D-A-N-A, -music.com, or even easier, you can just go to the Advent bookstore.
On Long Island.
Which is in Long Island.
Several places.
I think there's four locations.
Four.
And that would be even easier than trying to get online.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful store.
Sarah
and they're all so friendly.
Teresita will be here. And, you know, this is a beautiful place to come.
But I understand if you come into this store, you lose weight. Everybody here has lost weight. They all go on diets and they lose weight. They're all skinny here.
I really hope so.
Me too.
I'm going to stay here till I do.
Well, the store is well stocked.
Yes, it
beautiful
is.
It's store.
Beautiful.
Anything you want, you can find here at Advent Shop.
You can. It's food for the soul.
And they're dear friends of ours, by the way, aren't they, Palmer? You tell me that all the time.
I lie. Listen, I would love for you to talk about some of the songs and how they came about on the album.
A lot of them are very old Marian hymns because, you know, my mother, she loved music and she hadn't been so well for a time. And, you know, I remember as a child, my mother teaching me. I remember standing beside her in church and singing old hymns to Our Lady. And one of my favorites was Bring Flowers of the Rarest. Mm. And so my brother and myself, we were routining, you know, you go through the song or what you want to include music-wise and whatever, in my mother's home. And she was giving me the words that she knew as a child. And, you know, as a musician, I'd maybe put an extra little bit of music in here mm-hmm. and she'd say, no, that's not how we used to sing it. That's not right. But actually, it was the last time before her stroke.
Oh. Mm. So you really kind of did the album for your mom.
Yeah.
If you think about it, with her devotion to the Blessed Mother. How wonderful. Maybe we would listen to Bring Flowers of the Rarest for just a few moments. And we'll just, hopefully, it will work. You know how technology is. Oh, there it is.
Here it is.
This is a special tribute to your mother,
yes.
From Dana.
Bring flowers of the rarest, bring flowers of the fairest, from garden and woodland and hillside and dale. Our full hearts are swelling, our glad voices telling the praise of the loveliest flower of the vale. O Mary, we crown thee with blossoms today, Queen of the angels. Queen of the May, O Mary, we crown thee with blossoms today. Queen of the angels and Queen of the May.
You're serenading your mom.
Means a lot to me.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Proclaim thee, O grant that thy children on earth be as true as long as the bowers are radiant with flowers, as long as the azure shall keep its bright hue. We crown thee with blossoms today, Queen of the angels and Queen of the May. O Mary, we crown thee with blossoms today, Queen of the angels and Queen of
And imagine your mother just looking down and smiling and giving you a good hug and saying, good job, Dana.
Oh, yeah, she's a good mom.
Our full hearts are swelling, our glad voices telling the praise of the loveliest flower. Blossoms today, Queen of the angels and Queen of the May. O Mary, we crown thee with blossoms today, Queen of the angels and Queen of the May.
I'm getting chills. I can almost feel the Blessed Mother here with us.
I was just thinking of that.
Mary is here with us. And you know, you don't realize now, that song touching the hearts of everybody who thinks of their mother right now.
Oh,
what, and what a beautiful selection for you to put on that album, too.
Oh, thank you. Oh. I just have such very fond memories, you know, of these older hymns and all of the my grandmother and my great aunt, and you know, that those times and those days when there was a real reverence,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the church, to the Blessed Mother, but I think also to each other. You know, my grandmother was a lady, and my great aunt was a lady, and my mother was a lady, you know, and I think it just makes us aware of the fact that, you know, those were special days, and that we need to recreate that reverence.
Yeah.
And not just for the reverence for ourselves, that we should be aware, you know, that really we're children of God.
And reverence for life. And you've
yes.
gotten an award for your work in the pro-life movement. Tell me what you do there.
Well, I...
You got it from Pope John Paul?
It was actually... he had died at that time.
It'd be hard for him to give it to you. Right?
Yes, yes. But you know, he inspired me. He inspired so many. So in many ways, you know, he was Christ on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he just inspired so many people
mm-hmm.
for life, for family. So he's very much a part of it. But it was Pope Benedict during his time. And the San Benedetto Award is awarded by the International Catholic Doctors and Catholic Family Associations. It's worldwide. And they choose who they will give the San Benedetto, the Saint Benedict Award to. So I received it for my work in the European Parliament for Family and Life.
Mm.
And it was such an honor. We went to the actual monastery of Saint Benedict, which is in Subiaco, just outside of Rome. And it was presented by the abbot of his monastery. And they took us through the monastery in the very lower floors. It's carved into the rock, the stone of the mountain. Mm. And then they took us up to where you step on a tiny balcony, and there were the I don't know how you put it, but the plants that were brought from the actual rose bushes that he planted.
Mm.
And there is a precipice of, I'm sure, 1,000 feet below you in this monastery. It's spectacular. And then the following day I met, he wasn't Pope then, he was Cardinal Ratzinger. Mm. We had a 45-minute, just the two of us, in his rooms in the Vatican. And a very impressive man, a humble man, a highly intelligent man, a holy man.
And a person who had the most difficult job in the world to follow Pope John Paul II.
Yes, indeed.
And he's done it beautifully.
Well, I received the San Benedetto Award in 2004. He received it the following year,
mm-hmm.
the San Benedetto Award, as Cardinal Ratzinger.
Mm-hmm.
He was elected Pope, and he took the name Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's extremely important to realize, why would he take the name Benedict? Because Benedict is the patron of the Catholic Church in Europe, the patron of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance he placed on the choice of a name, because, you know, in these days we are in, when there is a huge push to secularize Europe, through the European Union, to secularize.
United States as well.
Yes, it's worldwide.
We're getting there.
It's a global push.
Dana, I'm so impressed with your story. I'm so impressed with your background. And John and I are both so honored to have you here.
Oh, it's my honor.
The question that keeps coming into my mind is, and I know you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're very spiritual, when did all this start? When did you create your love affair with Jesus, and how was it created?
You know, I think he created it with me, because I remember as a very young child being very aware of, you know, the reality of Jesus. And I think all children have that instinctive awareness of the spiritual.
Oh.
And a sensitivity to the spiritual as children.
And the trust.
Yes, absolutely. And the, you know, of course they understand perfectly the unconditional love of Jesus, because children love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very aware of that. And then I think I was 16. I remember it very well. I woke up one morning and I realized there was no God. 16 years of age, I wake up, I think, there is no God. I have been.
Where did he go?
I tell you, you know, with the conviction that you have,
sure,
as a young
person, yes.
I thought, there's no God. There's just like a big lump of, you know what putty is?
Yes.
You know what putty you put in the wind? And you put it in the cracks in the, what? I thought, there's just a big lump of putty. And if we're worried about anything, we take a piece of this and we shove it in the cracks and we go on.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I don't want that. I want to face the challenges of life, and I, you know, I don't want escapism. And it was a year of hell for me, because I also realized I was the only one in my family and in my circle of friends who knew this. So, I mean, I kept going to Mass because, as I say, my mother would have killed me if I didn't. But, you know, I felt so miserable, and I felt depressed. I felt alone and isolated. And our school every year had a 3-day silent retreat, which in itself was a miracle. And we had to go to confession, and I did. And the priest began to talk to me, and I just broke into tears. And his name was Father Hamill. I will never forget him. So now I'm 17. And he said, why don't you wait and we'll talk later? And I told him there was no God. I realized he was the big escape, and he was so wise. He said, well, if what you say is true, to be a Christian and live the Christian life must be the easy road, rose-colored glasses. He said, but I tell you, it will be the most challenging, but the most fulfilling road you will ever take. Mm. And it wasn't like a huge flash of light. It was just like, oh, I never thought of that. And from that point on, you know, it was a very one step forward and 10 step back, finding this adult relationship with God. And actually, it was through my husband that I came into the renewal, as we call it in Ireland. Most of his family were in the renewal. And that's when I really encountered this reality that Jesus is as real and as present as you both are to me.
He's a person.
Yes.
He's not a concept.
That's right.
He's a person that wants a relationship in love.
Yes, but you know, I was petrified. I was scared. Yeah. I remember being taken to my first prayer meeting. Damien took me, and oh, I hated it. And these people were praising God with their hands up in the air. And I'm looking at them, and I thought, any moment they're going to come in white suits and put them in a white van and take them away. And the sooner the better. I was breaking out in embarrassment. So I spoke with Father Kevin, and I said, there's no point in me going to these prayer meetings. I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. I'm watching these people. It's horrible. And he, you know, he was so understanding. He said, well, if you spent less time looking around you and more time talking to God yourself, you'd be better off. So, he really slapped my wrists. So, you know, I think something I have learned too, and maybe your listeners are even going through this, you know, when you know somebody has something that you want, something you need, but you feel almost a fear, like you want it, but oh, I can't possibly do that or speak to them or go there. You know, the evil one, and if there's good, there's evil. And we know the reality that, you know, where there's God, there's also someone who's trying to take you away. There is the devil.
Absolutely.
He tries to keep you away. Fear is his greatest tool. Mm-hmm. And that's why over and over and over again, what did Christ say? Be not afraid. What was the first words of John Paul II as he stood on the balcony? Mm-hmm. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, go with someone you trust. You know, surrender. All he needs is the moment when you say, you know, there's something I need. I want to know you. Help me to know you. He's right there.
All the time, 24 hours a day,
yeah.
In the middle of the night when you wake up, Tony?
Dana, I just want to tell you that was the most beautiful response that I ever received on any of my questions.
Oh,
thank you so much.
No, I'm hurt. he asked me that, and I he didn't say that
you
to me. And he's holding
quite,
your hand. I mean, he's got some nerve.
Kind
of a guy
but
are you?
Know,
I don't know.
I was getting pushed to ask you that question.
Oh, thank you.
And then I says, no, this guy Palmer's not going to let me in there. I know I'm going to push my way in there. But anyway. Thank you very much.
I'd like to go back and maybe look at a couple of the other songs that are on your album.
Sure.
Pick one.
Well, the Memorare, of course, is a beautiful prayer, and I love that prayer, and I just continually I was hearing it in my mind to music, and I'm thinking, no, I can't possibly put the Memorare to music.
Sure.
But, you know, it just kept coming and coming and coming. And I didn't even put it on a CD, on a tape. I didn't write it down, nothing. But it kept coming back all the time. So when we did the Marian album, we did some beautiful old hymns. But there were also some newly written hymns to Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't write the words. I think, was it St. Bernard who wrote the words mm-hmm. of the Memorare,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I can say that St. Bernard and I wrote this together.
Good partner, you pick good partners.
Listen to this, the Memorare, those of you with a devotion to the Blessed Mother, listen to this, you'll love this.
Mm-hmm.
How beautiful, how lovely, thank you. You know, though, behind every man, there's a good woman. But I know behind you, there's a good man. Would you like to introduce that man to our audience?
I certainly would. This is my husband, Damien, Damien Scallon. And he is a good man. And, you know, I could never do what I do if it wasn't for Damien there with me. And together we've started this music ministry, and it's really lovely. You know, it's so lovely to be able to share that with you and with your listeners.
Well, it's a lovely song.
Well, it's the power of the prayer, but you know.
But I want your husband to say hello. He may not want to, but I want him to
say hello. Hello, how are you all out there?
You're not from Ireland, are you?
No, I might be. I just flew over it. Yeah, it's great to be here, and it's great to you've been so warm and kind and generous to us, and we appreciate it very much.
We're so happy
appreciate
you're here.
Being here.
Oh, we're so happy that you're here.
It's a blessing to have you.
What a
thank
love.
You.
And you know what? Today, Tony is giving up doing his saints.
Yes. Yes, and I'm giving it up because you know what?
This is so beautiful.
This is so beautiful.
And the music is so
I
lovely.
I can never do what you could do.
You know, I have to tell you, we tease each other all the time, but Damien and I recorded the Divine Mercy
He did.
And he, you know, I've done
Are
many...
Are you a singer?
Oh, no. you would not want to.
Are you a hummer?
Are you from Italy by any chance?
Well, see, you probably know the tone of Damien's voice because his brother, Father Kevin Scallon, we recorded all the rosaries together. Not all the rosaries, but what we call the Blue Rosary and the Rosary of Healing, because he has a particular gift for healing of the family tree. Mm. And then I got a real, it's too long to go into, but it was many, many years I knew I had to put the Divine Mercy with sung prayers. And after a very long time, it just all clicked together. But I knew it had to be with Damien. And Damien didn't want to do it. Because from a young boy, he had a slight stoppage, a slight stammer, just nerves. But he did do it. He went, and you won't hear a stoppage at all. But we've had such fun with that because we call it Damien's Divine Mercy.
Let's see if we can do one more of your songs because okay. They're so pretty.
Well, thank
and
you.
And we're going to have to tell the people how to get these songs.
Oh,
I know they're going to be asking.
Yeah, they will.
Oh.
We have at least 12 people who hear
we're
our
program. Up to 15.
15 now. Okay, we've gone up.
We grow every week.
Well, you can get them from www.dana-music.com, or much easier, you can just go into the Advent bookstores, which are in Long Island, and you can meet Sarah and Teresita.
And they're great friends of ours.
Yeah, they are.
But we don't want to promote them too much, you know, because they...
Never enough.
Never enough.
They've been on our show 4 times.
I know.
They're just wonderful. And, you know, it's so important to have not just somewhere where you can go and get religious artifacts or music or whatever, but somewhere where you can go and know that you're going to meet people who love the Lord and they love you and they become like a family. That's really important.
But you know, I've been praying so hard that Sarah learned to express herself. She holds everything back so much. We wouldn't even know that she's a friend of Jesus.
She's a hugger, that's for sure.
And dancer, she has dancing feet.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. And Teresita is a Spanish hugger.
Oh, I tell you, they're the best. Yeah.
How about the one more song?
You know,
you can do any one you want.
Most of the songs are on this album. It's called Ave Maria, and they're mostly gentle, almost contemplative, because you know we're all under so much stress, and there's so much going on in the world. You know, I just feel that Ave Maria, this album, is somewhere where you can just nestle into the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Oh, I love it.
Like a little preborn child, you can just, and she will nourish you.
I just finished the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
You know,
it's beautiful.
It is really beautiful, and it's a reality that her heart is like a womb where you can grow. And it's just beautiful.
And did you write this?
Yes, it was actually, we were outside Chicago. And it's many years ago now, about 10 years ago, maybe more. I was singing and speaking at a pro-life gala dinner. And we were staying in a beautiful old inn. And in the middle of the night, I woke up hearing this. It's called Immaculata. And so as not to disturb my husband, I got out of the bed. I didn't know the layout of the room. I'm crawling along the ground to get into the bathroom and find a pen and a paper and... sometimes you just know you have to write it down. So, and I want to dedicate it to the beautiful woman who organized that gala dinner. Please pray for her. Her grandchild was tragically drowned.
Aww.
And maybe because he gave it to me there, just so associated with her, maybe in a way this was a foreshadowing of the love and the nourishment she's going to need. She's a beautiful woman, so please pray for her and her family and her beautiful little grandchild. And this is called Immaculata.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I am the hand
where she leads. O font of love, O gentle dove, pray for us. Ave Maria, Immaculata Holy One. Ave Maria, Mother of Mercy.
I'm going to ask Angela to put that on again, because we're going to close our show with that. And those of you who are at home who need prayer, take a few moments, hold the hands of someone who's with you, and ask Mary to intercede, and ask Mary to bless you. And she'll come. So we place all of our listeners in the hands of Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and in the Sacred Heart of her Son. And through the unity and love, that they be blessed and touched by God. Dana, we can't tell you what a pleasure it was. You're a lovely woman, talented, and all for Jesus. Thank you.
I am the
It was a pleasure and an honor.
Said the Mother of my God, and I will she leads. O font of love, O gentle dove, pray for us. Ave Maria, Immaculata Holy Mother of
before.